Creativity is contagious. Pass it on in any way possible. Albert Einstein.
Hi, creatives. Thank you for joining us on this new episode of season 3 of Brewing Up Creativity. I am your host, Daniela Bonte, and I am a full-time entrepreneur and the lead graphic designer of my Toronto graphic design studio, Daniela Bonte Designs. I'm on a mission to inspire creatives like yourself to pursue your creative dreams one podcast episode at a time. Whether you're new here or an avid listener, I'm incredibly happy you're here, and I'm really excited about today's all-new episode.
Here with me today is the talented and chic Talicia G, who is a brand fashion stylist and personal shopper for female service providers in Toronto, operating under her brand Talicia G Styles. She's fashioned a diverse set of clients under her belt, from clients like Aaliyah J, Lisa Berry, and Miss Universe Canada Nova Stevens, to notable media publications like the Hudson's Bay Magazine and She Canada Magazine. By collaborating with her clients and putting her expertise to work, she curates pieces that represent her clients' personalities and their brands with integrity, class, and of course, signature style. Hi, Talicia. I am so happy to have you here to discuss fashion styling and its positive impacts on branding if you're doing it right, or just to learn a bit more about it, because I've actually never had a stylist be able to talk to me about these things. I've never invested in it, but I think it's actually so important because I do try to consider it with my own business, but I am really, truly excited to have you here. I thought there was nobody else better to bring on.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to talk about it too, because as you said, not a lot of people take it into consideration. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Absolutely. But first, like, how's your day going? How are things?
Good. This is the first thing of the day. So I think you're starting my day off on a great start. So I'm happy.
I'm happy to be starting off your day. It's one of those like call hectic days for me. So yeah. You're my third, but Third time's always a charm, and I've been looking forward to this all week.
Okay, perfect. Me too. I'm really excited about this.
As am I. But before we start talking about like what you do and your journey and your talents, the go-to icebreaker question on this podcast really relates down to the brewing up part of it, which means I'm going to ask you, what's your go-to coffee or tea order, or is there anything you're making at home right now that you're absolutely loving?
Right now, since I'm doing intermittent fasting, housewives, trying to get that summer body, you know what I mean? So right now, I am doing iced blonde Americanos with just a splash of heavy cream from Starbucks. So fun fact, I think it like doesn't spike your cortisol or your insulin. So that's what I'm, sometimes just drinking plain black coffee, this just breaks up the blackness a little bit. The heavy cream breaks up the blackness, so
I didn't know that. And I'm always like considering that when I'm making my drinks. And I've been randomly getting into, and it's not a good thing, but I've been randomly getting back into ice caps. And I can't help but think like every time I finish it, how much sugar did I just drink?
Oh my gosh.
And how bad is this for me?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But they're so addictive. You're right. Like, love them.
I know. And like, I don't hit them up. I don't drink them in the winter. And then for some reason, as soon as summer comes around, and I don't know about you, but like near that time of the month and I need a sugar fix, sometimes I'm like, if I can get my caffeine and sugar in one, it's good for me. But I always do consider like, what is the healthier option for me?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I might try that out because I don't want to feel guilty now. I mean, I have my espresso in the morning, but I definitely do feel guilty when it comes to like that afternoon drink.
Yes.
I don't need to hit up that ice cap. I need to find a nice like middle ground.
You can try. What I do sometimes is I do want that ice cap feeling. Coffee frappuccino from Starbucks with almond milk. So that's a lot less calories versus like, having, I think, the whole milk that they use. So almond milk and then whatever flavor you want to add. Yeah,
I'm going to do that. Fun fact, I've never had a frappuccino before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, try it. That's like, if I want like an ice cap, I'll just have a frappuccino with almond milk. It's 90, I think it's like 90 calories or something.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So yeah, give it a try. You may like it. You won't feel as guilty.
No, and that's what I need. I'll be messaging you as soon as I try that out and like be thanking you for it. Because I definitely need like that little treat or pick me up. But
yes.
Maybe I'll run out and get that today. I definitely need another coffee. caffeinated beverage.
You're so funny.
So I'm going to have you introduce yourself. Tell us all a bit about what you do. And maybe even just start off with like your journey. Like how did you learn about fashion styling and making yourself wanting to pursue it?
Okay. Every time I introduce myself, I always like start with my name. Like, hi guys, I'm Khaleesi B. Style. I've been doing fashion styling for actually more than 10 years now. I had to like realize it the other day, but I've been doing it for more than 10 years on and off. But now for the past 2 years, I've been doing it consistently. I took like a 2-year break in between that. But I've been doing it for 10 years. Funny enough, I was going to school first for nursing. My dad will tell you every time you see him. He's like, yeah, she's supposed to go to school for nursing. And I dropped out. Yeah, he's still like kind of hurt by it. But Caribbean parents, they want everybody to be a nurse, doctor, a lawyer kind of thing. So that's what I pursued first, but then I didn't like it. I think I'm too emotional and I like connections with people. So yeah. I don't think that was the best route for me. And so I ended up doing fashion like a year later. I dropped out and then I went for fashion. I had a friend who's like, yeah, I'm going to go for the fashion program. I'm like, oh, me too. So we ended up going and we ended up talking about different careers that we wanted to pursue. And he's like, oh, I'm going to do fashion styling, which I've never heard of. That was like in the early 2000s, like 2008. So no one really talking about fashion styling. Like fashion styling became like a big thing, like maybe in the 2010s, but in the late 2000s, no one was talking about it. So I looked it up. I was like, oh, I think I can do this because I love styling myself because I was always like best dressed and things like that in school.
I love that.
Yeah. And even with like my family, I was always wanting to dress up a lot more than everybody else and things like that. So I always loved fashion. So I looked it up. And then fast forward, I finished the program. And then after school, I was like, okay, what can I go and like, how do I get started? But I ended up meeting some stylists because we didn't know of these people back then. But I met these two girls. I interned with them. They were called Velvet Blue. Yes. They were like urban fashion stylists for like the urban scene in Toronto. So I interned with them, assisted them. And then they kind of wanted to stop doing styling because they were doing it for so long. And then I just kind of took on their clients. And then it was just kind of from there. And then I just bounced around and I just networked throughout the industry. I did e-commerce. I did advertising, music videos. I haven't done movies. That's one thing I haven't done yet, but I still think I want to do it. It's still like an itch that I want to scratch.
Yeah, kind of for thing. Sure.
So, yeah.
Wow, that is so neat. And yeah. I love hearing like the journey. That's why I always say like, don't hesitate on telling us like how you came to be because like odds are, and we've never picked what we wanted to do when we're like 17 or 18, when people are asking us, what do you want to do? You're so young, like your frontal lobe isn't even developed yet. How are we supposed to make that decision?
Oh my gosh, I don't know why they do that to us.
No, I know. And like, I get it. Like high school's done. We need to start considering post-secondary. And then we also have like the influences of people who are older who might want to offer like their input as to maybe what worked for them or they know what works. And because they want us to feel comfortable. They want us to have a nice lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up in a family where pretty much everybody worked in the hospital. So growing up, all I ever heard about, right? And them complaining about it. And I used to think, well, damn, like, I this can't be my life. Like, I don't want to be talking about this until I have to retire. And so when I came out, and they also could kind of tell I wasn't going to go in that route as well. So it was very nice of you to enroll, though, and, you know, take the advice. I definitely did not. But it's almost like they knew. Yeah. And it was like their gut when they saw me constantly drawing or in the arts or dancing around the house or singing. Like, I think they kind of thought this is probably not what she's going to do.
Over there,
But I like how in your growing up, you were like kind of like that best dressed and you did enjoy expressing yourself through your fashion pieces a bit more than your family. Do you think when you came out and said, I don't want to be a nurse, I want to go into fashion, that they kind of had almost like an aha moment, like it made sense, or were they a little surprised at first?
Well, I think for my dad and my mom still don't understand. My mom understands it to an extent. My dad is somewhat understanding to an extent, but my sister kind of was just like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And she kind of influenced me too in regards to fashion. So she was just like, yeah, that makes sense. And then like my friends are like, yeah, that makes sense. But like my mom and dad, they're like, yeah, we see it. But it's just like, how does this make money? Because at the end of the day, I totally want to know.
That's the leading question that they always ask. And to be honest with you, it's so early on that how do you know how to answer that question either?
Yeah, exactly. Because I was still trying to figure it out. And it was still something that was like this whole the creative industry and stuff, it was still just starting up. Yeah. And like everyone's still trying to figure out how this is going to look in the next 5-10 years, right? Everyone was just trying something and see where it went.
And no one would have expected for the creative industry to grow into what it is today.
Oh my gosh, right?
Truly, I almost feel now like the creative industry has grown significantly more than any other, besides like the technology, of course, right?
For sure.
Which still, in part, I do consider creative.
Yeah, it's hand in hand, right? They go hand in hand. Yeah.
Sure. I never would have expected this for myself. So I guess that's why it's one of my favorite questions to ask, because I never expected to be in this position. I think a lot of people don't either. Yeah. Like when you were graduating from fashion school, did you see this being like your full-time business? Just yourself being a business owner?
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know I was going to be a business owner. So it's just like, whoa, okay. And then like it's evolving into so much because I guess we'll get more into it later on in the podcast, but it's like I want to do like classes and teaching. And so I didn't think I would be doing this.
Well, we're also not fortune tellers either. Yeah. So it's almost like we have this ambition and this strong passion and trying to find where to apply it and what's the best motive for ourselves. While we do still have to consider like, what's our dream lifestyle? Like I've had people come on and say like, I don't care to reach a certain figures, like a salary or set amount. And then there's people that, you know, make sure that they want to hit that. Everyone's lifestyle is so different. So slower, fast. I want to travel. Everyone's goals are different. So it's even after we're done graduating university or college or whatever it might be, we still are in that situation that we were kind of in high school where we're thinking like, okay, great. I've found my loves. I have found my passion. Mm-hmm. But again, where do I apply this and what's the best motive for me? And sometimes we take on gigs or jobs that aren't our dream goal that we thought it would be when we graduated.
Yes, in the moment,
In the moment. But I swear even those moments where we maybe took on something that we didn't love led us into where we are today too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because there's different types. That's the thing too. There's so many different types of styling. And I feel like I've done a lot of them, except obviously movies. But I've done like food styling. I was a food stylist at one point, assisting.
Oh, how cool.
I know. And I was doing off figure. So that means like bedding, mannequins, things like that. So I did that type of styling as well for a little bit as well. That wasn't my jazz. So I totally understand.
Yeah. And there's so many different facets. Like sometimes when people ask me what I do and I say graphic design and then they just kind of look at me like, what is that? And I'm like, okay, so there's a lot of niches and specializations, but I try to be like sometimes vague because I don't even know if people would know the specialties that lie within it. But like, it seems like there's a lot of specialties within fashion styling itself too.
Yes, a lot. There's a lot because you have theater where theater you need to know how to sew because I guess they would consider you a costumer. So you would be making costumes per se. Then you have film, which is similar to theater. And then you have, as I said, e-commerce, where you're just styling models, sometimes mannequins, off figure, where you're styling like bedding, flat lays. Like, it's been a while.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. It's just on the, like, you know, a shirt that is like, you would think that you just throw it on the floor, but you actually have to literally style it to make it look appealing. So I did that for a very long time, which is so boring to me. obviously you have runway styling, you have editorial, which is more so fashion, and then I kind of niched down and did my own thing and called it brand styling, so
which I love, and I'm glad you brought that up. I remember when I like came across your socials and your website, I thought, well, what a beneficial service, because first of all, I've actually never seen it online, and the way that you market it, I think the way you market it shows its significance and importance to business owners or those that even just want to show up to their work and be professional and express themselves in the way that their voice and communication comes across. So I think I think anyone could benefit from this, especially when we don't understand our body types. Like, we're all made so differently.
Yes.
And I can go shopping and see a dress like this looked so beautiful on this person I saw online. I want to try it on. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't look good. But I still want something of that sort of flow. But I don't have that professional eye to help me and say, okay, this one kind of like ground you. But you can find something similar, not identical, that just suits your body type a bit more. Like, there's so many skills and offerings that you bring up to the world that I want to talk about today.
Yeah.
So let's chat about that.
Yeah.
In terms of, let's go over like some maybe key tips of finding staple pieces for your wardrobe. So those effortless pieces, but they really just show off who you are as a person. What are some of those key tips that maybe people can consider?
So everybody has like a different list. And if you are interested, if you go to my Instagram, Talicia G Style, one of my highlights is wardrobe staples. So it's like a guide to show
beautiful.
You.
Beautiful.
I think I want to say 10 to 15 pieces that you can purchase, or as well too, you can download it from my website at TaliciaGStyle.com. There's like a guide there. But for instance, we'll talk about summer. Summer staples right now, I would say that you would need like a white sneaker for sure. Biker shorts. I feel like I'm
love
talking,
them. I'm sorry. Yeah,
right? And then a maxi dress, maybe a couple maxi dresses. Like, these are things that you can wear every day without thinking. So when you think of wardrobe essentials, just think of effortless things that you just put on without even thinking. Or as sometimes I will say, and other styles will say, like a uniform, something that you can just automatically always put on and know that you'll always look fabulous. So white sneakers, biker shorts, maxi dresses. Some great white tees, or I would say either white tees, navy, some striped ones, things like that you can just throw on with your biker shorts. And as well, too, another staple, jean shorts, depending on your body type. It could be different types of styling. It could be Bermuda shorts, dad shorts, whatever. Just get some jean shorts for the summer. What else would I say? A jeans jacket for those nights out where it's a little bit colder. If you're by the lake at the cottage, Canada's coming up. I'm sure we'll all be out on the lake somewhere. So you can throw on your jeans jacket. What are another staple? Oh, man, I should have had the list out. But for the most part, I feel like you could do so many with the items that I just said.
Absolutely.
And interchange them, because you can wear the jean jacket with the dress, or you can wear the jean jacket with the biker shorts and the t-shirt. Like, it's just all about interchanging and making sure you look fly at all times.
And like, that's the goal. I mean, when I was younger, I used to want to go and buy those trendy items all the time. And I didn't care. I was reckless. Yeah. And I would just buy whatever I thought looked good on me at the time, or what was just, again, going viral. And then you hit a point where you're working all the time. And on weekends or evenings, you often don't really want to think about it that heavily.
Yes.
Unless, hey, like, you're listening and you love fashion. I definitely do. But sometimes it gives me so much anxiety that these staples like really do help out. And like some of those pieces, like you were saying, I'm like, I'm glad I have that in my wardrobe. Oh, just bought those. Like, I just grabbed some new jean shorts and it was on the top of my list for this summer. Yeah. And, you know, not the ones that are too long, because I'm 5'2". Like, that's not happening. But then I'm also not about like the short shorts. Like, I don't want to be showing off that. So like, it's like we need that nice in between that you could even dress up or down however you decide. Yes. Something that I have been like wanting, and like, tell me if this is a trend. I want like a light pant or something that isn't dress pants, that isn't a khaki, that isn't like jeans. So it's like, it's comfortable, but you can dress it up or dress it down. I have not been able to find this anywhere. And I don't know whether it's like, I should be looking for like a linen pant, but is that a trend or is that something that could be a staple?
Oh my gosh. No, because you're referring to, because when I think of trends, it's more so the style of it, but you're talking about their material. So you're looking for like more of a linen pant that you can dress up and dress down. And it is perfect for summer because it's so breathable and you won't feel too hot in it and you'll feel comfortable. And as you said, you can dress this up with like a different, like a blouse, or you can dress it down by wearing like a regular t-shirt with it and some sneakers, or just like some flip-flops or something. So no, it's definitely not a trend. Linen is something that is, I don't see it ever going out of style. And even if it's something that is trendy, but it works for you and your body shape and type, keep it as a staple, because I know there is rules per se, but wear it. I always say, I'm like, do you, boo, like wear whatever works for you. And if it, because I remember, I think it was last summer, they had like cropped blazers.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. My gut that I had last year said no. My belly was not allowing me. So, but if you have a shorter torso and that works for you, keep that a part of your staple. Like, who am I to tell you, oh, that's just a trend, you shouldn't buy it, right? Whatever works for you, just go with it.
Yeah, and like being expressive.
Yes.
And your style, I'm sure, changes with,
yes,
with exactly. time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and embracing it. I used to be, God, like the waves that I've gone through is like insane. But I finally found in my late 20s exactly, like, and it'll probably change, you know, when you're pregnant or whatever.
Exactly.
But I finally found something where it's kind of like the business casual effortless look. And that's what I've been trying to go for. So even when I'm buying and shopping, I know I can wear this shirt and layer it with a jacket and it'll become professional in some sort of way, or a blazer, or I can just put it with some casual shorts or whatever I want to do. And it still remains on brand because I'm not always going to be at business events or something fancy, but I'm also not always going to be working from home. I might be going to work with people in person, and like, how can you interchange that? Like, honestly, it is a process. It's hard to consider that. But as a business owner, I guess, you know, we have to, especially if we don't want to be in the mall all of the time.
Exactly.
Hi, creatives. I'm coming at you with an amazing solution to automate your business so you can focus on exactly what you need to do while elevating your client experience. Dubsado helps to manage client projects, automate your work, and grow your business all at once. You can use Dubsado to sign contracts, collect payments, send custom forms, and get your time back in these custom workflows all in one place. It's a business management platform for everybody, and it is designed to fit your business. I used Dubsado to run my graphic design studio, Daniela Ponte Designs, and it's helped me to uplevel my client experiences and make more time for myself. It's made sending proposals, invoices, contracts, and more such a breeze. If you're looking to make a difference in your systems, you can receive 20% off your first month or year by using my link or code within the show notes below. Let's get back to the episode.
So, like you market and you offer, branding yourself to your business or whatever it is, or your workplace, whatever, or just expressing yourself, how big of an impact do your clothing items make on your branding?
It really does make a really big impact, because I always use the example of like a real estate agent. Like, if I was to meet a real estate agent in a tracksuit or like sweats or something, I don't want to buy a house from you. I don't trust your judgment, nothing. Like, I'm sorry to say, but we, as much as we love each other and we're all trying like world peace, unity, all this stuff, we are people to judge. It may not be intentional sometimes or consciously, but in our subconscious, we're low key judging.
Let's be real.
Yeah, we're judging. We're judging. So that's why I say it had like your image does have a big impact, especially as a business owner. Like, if you are a front facing business, if you're interacting with people all the time and your clients, it's going to have an impact, because they're going to look, as I said, subconscious, they're looking at you. They're like, should I trust her? You're establishing trust with your image. You're setting yourself apart from your competition. You're attracting the type of clients you want, because like, I'm sure that the real estate agent in a tracksuit has his certain client. I'm just not it.
Okay? No, it's so true.
Right? You're attracting the type of clients that you want, and it establishes yourself as an authority. It shows that you're taking yourself serious. Like with police and their uniforms, we take them serious because they're all unified. They all look like, no matter what, they always have a fresh lineup. Yeah. They're always like, you know, well put together. It's because they take their job serious. So that's how I look at it. Like, it's very impactful.
Yes. It like amplifies how you view your work.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like, I completely agree, because I'm thinking, if I met an agent in person and I'm taking this very seriously and they show up in that tracksuit, or like they just came from the gym to help me out and I barely know them, I'm going to think, well, do you take this seriously though? Like,
exactly.
You might have a long line of expertise and credentials, but when you showed up, it kind of seemed like you didn't care.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
I know that like budgets can be hard, but at the end of the day, we do have to try and make like some type of an effort. And I feel like we could create a beautiful wardrobe, even if we're not hitting up guests or like those big brands, you know, like we can find it.
Yeah, you're totally right. You can look, and because I know there's fast fashion and everybody's against it, and because in regards to the environmental impact, which I understand, but there is, as you said, there's people who just don't have the budget. So you can go to H&M and buy a suit for under, like, I want to say $100 if you're a man. A woman, you can buy like a cute like skirt, like a pencil skirt for like $20. Like, these are things that you can do until you do get to that budget where you're able to blow money like crazy. But until then, like, there's many stores out there where you can look professional, look well put together, refined. It doesn't have to be name brand. I'm not a luxury stylist. I don't promote that. Of course, I would love to, but at the same time, it won't make or break you if you don't have a name brand on. So, yeah.
I completely agree. And sometimes, like, if you pick the right pieces and staples from these stores, people would never know
exactly
you didn't go and get it at the biggest name brand ever, and how you pull it all together will make a bigger impact than going out and slopping that name brand on that purse just for that accessory. I mean,
exactly,
we all know it's the goal though. Like, I would love a Saint Laurent purse with my, you know, outfits, but working towards it slowly. But again, like, the purse I have now has lasted me forever, and I'm growing with it, and it'll do me well until I am at that point at some point. So I guess budget is kind of like important to talk about too, like for you and your realm of work. Are there like certain questions that you ask your clients before you're even able to go and start shopping with them?
Yes. So I do ask, it depends on the service that they're hiring me for, because I do brand photo shoot styling, and then I do event or like appearance styling. So like, if you have like public speaking engagements, or if you're on a podcast that's recorded and you need an outfit for that, I've styled for that, red carpet events, things like that. And then personal shopping, that's just for your just like everyday type of personal shopping. So for event styling and personal shopping, I'll definitely ask a budget, because these essentially you'll be keeping these clothing. But with brand photo shoot styling, you don't necessarily keep the clothing, because I'm pulling them from different stores. So some clients will keep pieces, but a good chunk of them, I will turn them back to the retailer where I've got them from, where I've pulled them from. So it just depends. And usually, too, I find that people who do hire me, they've already had their mind made up and they've already had a budget in mind. So usually whoever's coming to me, they're already ready. They're like, you know, I've thought about this for the past few months. I'm ready. I've saved the amount of money that I need to save. And I'm ready to take this. I'm ready to invest in my image.
I can imagine that there are like some things that people should consider before even inquiring.
Yes.
And reaching out. And some might be doing it for the first time.
Yeah.
So I would assume that if someone's listening and they're interested in working with you, or they're over in the States or Europe or wherever you are, and you want to get some fashion styling done, what are some of those little things that someone should consider before reaching out to provide?
Okay. So I will do a few for each. So for brand photo shoot styling, you need to figure out what you want to look like, what your ideal image is for your business. Because that's usually for business owners or personalities. If you're going to do like your photo shoots or videos, things like that, what do you want to look like? And if you want to look like money, you better have the money. right? Consider that. For event styling, red carpet, things like that, again, what do you want to look like? Okay, you want to be in a ball gown? Let's make sure that you have ball gown money. Okay, that's like upwards of $1,500 or more just for the outfit alone. And then you have to consider hair, makeup. Things like that, right? So, and then for personal shopping, I would say for personal shopping, like, say you're just like a regular 9-to-5, you work corporate, you're a corporate baddie, you just need some clothes to wear for work. You need to let me know what are your lifestyles outside of work, because with Wardrobe Essentials, I try to just stick to the basics when it comes to corporate people. And I don't want it to only just shop for work. I want to make sure that I'm buying items that you can intermix from day to night, on the weekend kind of thing, to let me know.
So beneficial.
Yeah. So yes, you go to work, but what else do you do outside of work? Are you a soccer mom? Do you do like volunteering, things like that, like different lifestyles? You should consider what lifestyles you want to be dressed for, not just work, because you can use things for work and interchange them on the weekends or in the evening. So
that's so beneficial.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just thinking about anybody listening to this who's corporate, and I'm sure like some places have like dress code,
yes.
Which kind of like sucks, but at the same time, it's mandatory.
Yeah.
No one wants you showing up to work, like we said, in that tracksuit or pajamas.
Yeah.
Maybe it's PJ day one day, but who knows?
Yeah.
So like, there's so many things that you would need to consider. I love the fact that I'm a creative business owner, because although I have like this strong brand image that I've worked towards, I know that I'm free to express myself in a professional way, but also in a creative way where it doesn't feel so rigid. I can be a lot more, I can be easier on myself in terms of like, I can dress comfortably while feeling confident in whatever I'm wearing or in my skin.
Yeah.
And a huge thing, and while you were talking about it, like even brand photo shoots, like I do those, if not on a quarterly basis, at minimum, like twice a year.
Yes.
So beneficial for marketing. And the top thing I consider is my voice and tone, how people know that they're going to hear from me and work with me, how I would show up if I was to work with you in person or through a Zoom call. I'm not a huge makeup person, I will admit, but I hope that like my fashion is like simple. It's not over the top. It's not, I'm not a flashy person either. So I consider that. But when it comes to those shoots, I have to consider my colors. So it doesn't look so off on socials or my website. So how much fun do you have when someone comes to you and they say, this is my brand, this is my business? Has anyone ever come to you as well where they were unsure and maybe didn't even know who their target audience was or who they work with? Maybe they're in that startup phase. Has there ever been like something challenging in the aspect of planning an outfit for a brand photo shoot?
I've had some challenges, but I feel like a lot of the women who do come to me, like not to say that some of them have come and they are startups, but a lot of them have thought a lot of it through what their audience is. And that is one of the questions I ask, like, who
are you showing?
Yeah, exactly. Who's your audience? Who do you want to attract? That's one of the questions I do ask. But some of the difficulties I would say is just like not being open-minded. Cause sometimes I'm like, girl, you're going to look fire in this suit. Like, oh, I don't like that suit. Like those little things. But it's like, once I show them to them, like, okay, like I understand what you mean. So I'm like, this reads powerful, but you are the, what you want reads like a wimp, if that makes sense. Right. Those are some of the difficulties I run into. Some women, I haven't encountered, to be honest, like I haven't encountered anybody that doesn't.
Is unsure.
Exactly. No, unsure.
Yeah.
And usually if the, I've had one girl who's just like, you know what? I trust you. Do whatever you want to do. It's kind of like that. I more so run into people like that. Like, no, I trust you. Just do whatever you want to do. I like everything that you've done so far. So just do whatever you want to do. I'm like, oh, okay. This is really easy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me have my creativity. I'm sure that would actually be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me the creative floor.
Yeah.
No, I find like that stuff like so much fun, considering like the colors and the color psychology and how it translates and how it shows up online to people that haven't even been able to talk to you yet, but they get to see how you are as a person, like through photos, through how you've styled things, the flat lays of the photos and your actual outfit, like it all comes together to create this really strong visual. So that's really cool to hear like your process or how specific you have to get with your client in order to achieve that. But I just want to say that you must see your clients achieve confidence through what you do, and that must be so fulfilling.
Yes, it is. I love, because I mainly work, it's not to say that I don't work with men, but I've mainly been working with women for the past few years, and I love seeing them like on set like glow up, because they're just like, the confidence is like, they go from 0 to 100 so fast. And then plus I'm cheerleading them on while I'm on set too. So I'm like, yeah, you can do it. But It really does boost your confidence. Like a lot of these women are confident, or they're at least they're on their way to being more confident. But once you put on that like outfit and you have the makeup and hair done, it's just like you transform. It's like metamorphosis. Like you become like this butterfly overnight. And it's just, it's really beautiful to see. And I feel privileged to be a part of the process of that whole metamorphosis, that transformation, because you didn't have to pick me, you didn't have to use me kind of thing. So it's just, I'm grateful, and I feel like it's a privilege to see these women boss up, as some people would say, or transform, whatever you want to call it. But I love it. I love seeing it. It is fulfilling for sure.
Yeah, that would be incredibly fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And I think confidence is something we're all working towards.
Yes.
I don't know a single person that just came out of the womb I was super confident. Yes. I mean, like, as kids, sometimes they'll be talking. I'm like, damn, you're confident. Like, I'm the best. But then we grow up and, you know, the world impacts us in different ways, right? Yeah. So, like, to have a nice service provider like yourself and working with someone to make sure it's a collaborative process, or they put their full trust in you and then you see them evolve and allow themselves to feel confident and comfortable to show up and get excited for these things. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of nerves set in stone, whether it's events, whether it's brand shoots, whether it's for work, business, whatever it is. There's some nerves there when you got to show up and present yourself in front of anybody, because like you said, we can judge.
Oh, yeah.
Like humanity can, we're judging.
Yeah.
Like a total bombastic side eye if someone's like not showing up in the way I thought they would.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that's funny enough that you say that, because it's not to say I dress up to go to the grocery store, but like I will make sure that I look presentable. And my mom's like, where are you going? Who are you going to? I'm like, I'm just going to the grocery store. And I'm like,
getting chicken.
Yeah. Like literally. And she's like, you don't have to like, you know, dress up. I'm like, I will never know where I'll see my next client. I don't know who knows me. So that's another thing to put into consideration. If you don't know, because as business owners, we can just spark up a conversation with somebody in the salad dressing aisle. And then, like, you know, it turns out they could be your next potential client. Like, you never know. So you just always gotta be on point. You don't have to be dressed up, but just look presentable.
Yeah, of course. And it's memorable. Yeah. I honestly remember people, bad to say, but like I do remember people with how they present themselves and how they come across. So if I remember this person and every time I see them, I think, wow, they look great. Like I'm going to remember you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, exactly. First impressions are long lasting, right? Of course, some people can redeem themselves. You could have caught them off guard one day, but like you want to make sure that the first impression is like a great lasting impression to that person.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially when you run a business, because when you're going to run into a person. Yeah. So that was such a great point to bring up.
Yeah.
It is so safe to say that you pursued your passion and you've been doing it for a long time. So what you do, it comes off beautifully. Women feel great. But if you had one piece of advice to someone who's tuning in and they're looking to pursue what they love, maybe they don't know what that is, or they're working towards it right now. What's one thing you would say to them?
Oh gosh, as I said, I'm long-winded. Like I have so much to say, but I would say get around people who are already in the lane that you're going in, the direction you're going in. It makes the journey a lot easier. If you are in a pack full of wolves instead of sheep, like obviously not to say that you want to be like cutthroat, but like if you're in a pack of wolves that are like, you guys are all pursuing similar goals, it could be in different industries, but you guys are all heading in the same direction. It is very encouraging to you, because even right now I'm building my tribe of like more entrepreneurial women. I'm networking and things like that, because it makes the journey so much more funner and it's more encouraging. So whenever I'm feeling down or my cup is feeling empty, I can turn to one of them to pour into my cup, kind of thing. So it's definitely something I would tell somebody, like get around people, like-minded people. Because if you're around your friend, like not to say that you throw your friends away from like kindergarten or wherever, or high school, but just get around people who are in the same lane as you, so that when you do have your doubts, because the entrepreneur journey will fill you with doubts sometimes, right? When you do come across those times where you feel like giving up, you can turn to that tribe and like, guys, this is how I feel, X, Y, and Z. I'm sure they felt it before too. They can help you pick yourself back up from those moments. So build a community, build a tribe with like-minded people. That's probably one thing I would say.
Yeah. And that's such a great piece of advice that actually I don't know that many people will talk about. Mm-hmm. It's so beneficial. Yeah. And I know it's like harder in the beginning to build that tribe. It's a process.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of networking, even if that might be like out of your comfort zone, which it is for me. I naturally am more of an introvert. So doing those things, I have to like prepare. But it's so beneficial, because those relationships technically are pretty long term, because all of you have something similar. It doesn't have to be the same business, but it's your mindset, and you need to be around that type of a mindset. And I have in the last years needed to remove myself from certain situations if I found it wasn't positive, or if it wasn't I feel like we do need some challengers in our life as well that ground us a little bit too. Like there's so many different types of people that we need, but in the end, they have your best version of yourself, like in mind. Like they want the best for you. And as much as you want that for them, and at the end of the day, we do need confidants. We do need that circle. So I think that's an amazing piece of advice to anyone, no matter what stage they are in, even if they've got a 9 to 5 and like that's where they are, but they know they want to grow up that ladder and they need people in that mindset too. Like there's so many different people out there. I love that you left on that note.
Yeah. And as well too, it doesn't have to be a whole bunch of people. It could be one or two people.
Literally.
Right? It doesn't have to be a whole bunch, but if it's just like a few people, like even one or two, as I said, just have those people in your corner that can help you develop.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, like I already, like when you were providing that advice, I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
I know exactly who you're talking about in my life, whether they're like virtual friends or people I'm able to like meet up with, because we've got some amazing friends that even are across borders.
Yeah,
you got to get on a plane.
Oh my gosh, but like, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We're thinking of them because we've got each other's backs, even if it's over on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, feel free to reach out to those people because they've got you in mind always and they want the best for you. So let them know.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that too. Because as soon as you said that, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I haven't told these people that. You know, I appreciate them.
Yeah.
And I'm here for them too. Uh-huh. So I'm super happy that you brought that up.
Yeah.
I want people to find you online. But before I do, I want everyone to know that Talisha's information is going to be below, whether it's her website, her socials, pretty much anything. Uh-huh. Be sure to hit up that highlight for the staples that we talked about earlier in the episode over on her Instagram. That's all below. But is there anything that people should like look out for to come online?
Yeah, there's lots of stuff. Funny enough, I will, by the time this comes out, my new website will be launching with new packages that you guys can be looking out for. I know we talked a lot about staples, so I'm going to have a personal shopping package that is geared solely towards staples and getting your, like, basically the building blocks and the foundation of your wardrobe. So look out for that. And as well, I do, if you are in the, because we are in Canada, lovely Canada, Toronto, Ontario. If you're in the Durham region, I do personal shopping as well out of the Oshawa Center. So you can always look out for that as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me, sharing your journey, your expertise, and that final piece of advice. Like everything was truly amazing to hear from.
Thank you.
I feel like we can all learn from what you do and be able to implement it into our lives or work with you directly. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was amazing. You are so awesome. And yeah, I'm just excited to see what this blooms into in the future.
As are you, Talisha. You showed up looking like gorgeous and I already forgot my coffee for today's episode.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We're always brewing out something new for all of you to tune into and love hearing from you. Our team over here on Brewing Up Creativity would love it if you joined our community in any capacity. Whether it be checking us out on Instagram at Brewing Up Creativity or leaving a review to help us better serve you as listeners. If you're looking to join or sponsor an episode, reach out to us through email, which is linked in our episode's show notes below. Thanks, creatives.